From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns is bringing the next portion of a message called The Abominations of Apostasy. Chapters 17 through 21 are some of the most unpleasant passages in all of the Bible. The key to the conditions described here may be found in chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Dr. Cairns is pointing out clear parallels to our own time, for the awful conditions of the times of the judges were brought about by spiritual apostasy. First, there were the causes of apostasy, the rejection of God's law, followed by the installation of man as the sole authority of what is right or wrong. The course of apostasy leads inevitably downward, from religious abominations to total idolatry. As we'll see, idolatry leads to unspeakable social abominations, including immorality, violence, and the defending of the guilty, conditions which are all too apparent in our society. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Morning and Evening from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah and verse 1, three simple words, mighty to save. By the words to save, we understand the whole of the great work of salvation, from the first holy desire onward to complete sanctification. The words are much in little. Indeed, here is all mercy in one word. Christ is not only mighty to save those who repent, but he is able to make men repent. He will carry those to heaven who believe, but he is moreover mighty to give men new hearts and to work faith in them. He is mighty to make the man who hates holiness love it, and to constrain the despiser of his name to bend the knee before him. Nay, this is not all the meaning, for the divine power is equally seen in the afterwork. The life of a believer is a series of miracles wrought by the mighty God. The bush burns, but is not consumed. He is mighty to keep his people holy after he has made them so, and to preserve them in his fear and love until he consummates their spiritual existence in heaven. Christ's might doth not lie in making a believer and then leaving him to shift for himself, but he who begins the good work carries it on. He who imparts the first germ of life in the dead soul prolongs the divine existence and strengthens it until it bursts asunder every bond of sin and the soul leaps from earth, perfected in glory. Believer, here is encouragement. Art thou praying for some beloved one? Oh, give not up thy prayers, for Christ is mighty to save. You are powerless to reclaim the rebel, but your Lord is almighty. Lay hold on that mighty arm and rouse it to put forth its strength. Does your own case trouble you? Fear not, for his strength is sufficient for you. Whether to begin with others or to carry on the work in you, Jesus is mighty to save, the best proof of which lies in the fact that he has saved you. What a thousand mercies that you have not found him mighty to destroy.
To do what he said.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
They served for money. This Levite served for money. Now, every preacher has to live. Every evangelist has to live. Every Bible teacher has to live. Every pastor has to live. Every missionary has to live. I remember when I was a young fellow, I had a friend, and he said, I have no great love for money, but it's very handy when you're going to the shop for a message. The fellow behind the counter wants your money. So you need it. That's true of a preacher as much as anybody else. But when a man says he's called of God and he starts to make decisions based on money, I'll go to this man or this church or this area because they pay me so much, and I'll not go there because I would have financial hardship. He has already sold his conscience, and he's already sold his calling. The only job that a man of God has is to know the will of God and go there and leave it to God to meet his need. When he's doing the will of God, he'll get his need met. But if he changes, because it's a bigger church, more money, better months, I'll tell you, he sold his conscience and he sold his calling. That's what the Levite did. Then there was the rejection of the soul's central tabernacle. There was a house of his gods. He had a miniature Shiloh. That's the best construction you can put on it. The worst construction is that he had a house of total idolatry. But you know, spiritually, that's the rejection of the centrality and sole efficacy of the cross of Christ. That Shiloh tabernacle, in all its parts, speaks of Christ, the one and only Redeemer, the one and only sacrifice, the one and only mediator, the one and only way to heaven. Apostasy always rejects the centrality of Christ, the uniqueness of Christ, what they like to call the intolerance of Bible Christianity. Way back, 1928, if my memory's not far wrong, in the early days of the ecumenical movement, the bishop of a place called Dornakal in India was speaking at a great ecumenical conference. You should know that the ecumenical movement gained much of its impetus from the mission field of the apostate churches. And he came to this great conference and he said, "We cannot go to the heathen with the idea that we have something better to give them." In fact, he called them the so-called heathen, with the idea that we have something better to give them. Ever since then, the World Council of Churches has worked upon the premise that we are going to interact with the heathen, but that there is nothing singular, there is nothing unique, there is nothing that is solely efficacious and saving about Jesus Christ. That was the mark of apostasy in Israel. Then it led to total idolatry, graven images, molten images, teraphim, which are household gods. It's not long till the rejection of truth leads to open error. See how it works. Idolatry is brought in, verse 3 of chapter 17, in conjunction with the worship of Jehovah. And then idolatry is put instead of the worship of Jehovah. That's why Presbyterians have always tended to believe in what is known as the regulative principle. Now, some of them, I'll be honest, carry it to ridiculous lengths, and they are not consistent even with themselves. But the regulative principle is that we worship God according to the ordinances he has set down in his word. And we admit nothing into Christian worship that is either not commanded by Scripture or is not allowable by the plain statements and standards of the Word of God. regulate our worship by God's word. If you don't do that, it'll not be long, as happened in the what is now the Roman Catholic Church, when you start bringing in things to add them as idolatrous or heathen accretions to Christianity. It's not long until they will take over and you will have idolatry and anti-Christianity. And then, of course, you have a man-made priesthood. Micah made his son a priest. And then he consecrated the Levite, a priest. Watch it carefully. The course of apostasy, the result of human reasoning, the result of men doing that which is right in their own eyes. What is it? They will set up human priests. It wasn't long indeed after the days of the apostles until the sub-apostolic church began to get the notion of priests. You know, the only priests in the New Testament church are God's people. We're a kingdom of priests. One of the central doctrines of the Protestant Reformation is the priesthood of all believers. There is no sacrificing priesthood in the New Testament. There is no special class of priests that stand between the laity and God. That is idolatrous. Once churches begin to make man-made priests, they are following the course of apostasy. That's religious abominations. Quickly look at the social abominations. There was gross immorality. The first note of this was the unchastity of the Levite's concubine. To her marriage vows, she was unfaithful. She became a harlot. Is this not a national scandal in America today? Is it not a scandal in churches even today that husbands and wives are unfaithful, that the marriage vows are counted as nothing? And indeed, it's reaching the stage, and of course this is men doing that which is right in their own eyes. I remember in Britain when this began to be talked about, at first when I was just a young fellow, it was poo-hooed. I mean, it could never be. This was something you'd find in Scandinavia, but not in any country like England or America, where you just do away with marriage until it becomes convenient. But as long as you have what the counselors are always calling a stable relationship. A stable relationship of fornication? Is that stable? Of adultery? Is that stable? That's sinful. And it needs to be faced as being sinful. Gross immorality. Unchastity then followed by sodomy and the men of Gibeah. And you'll notice how open they were about it. Now I want you to watch this carefully. People today talk about sodomites and sodomy as if it suddenly arrived out of nowhere. Let me tell you, if you read your Bible, you'll find something. Sodom is described for us in the first book of the Bible. It was already ripe for judgment in the days of Abraham, about 2,000 years before Christ. How long it had been flourishing, we're not told. Go even back further. There is good reason to believe that sodomy was part of the sin of Ham that brought his family under the curse of God. This is an ancient thing. And when you read through the Old Testament, there's a startling fact comes out. Every time religious apostasy blighted the land, then on the social level, sodomy always came out of the closet. Always. That's going to be the case in every generation and in every society. And I'll tell you the answer to sodomy. I'm going to jump ahead of myself in case I don't get to the last point. I'll come back to it possibly, if I have time. But the answer to sodomy is not some psychological course. The answer to sodomy is not some self-help movement. The answer to sodomy is not to teach them to live in so-called monogamous relationships. The answer to sodomy is a spiritual revival. Because the cause of it is religious apostasy. No society can ever rise above its religion. Never forget that. No society can ever rise above its religion. And that's true of America today. And I tell you, we have the results in the social sphere: unchastity, sodomy, and then unbridled lust and impurity. The body of the Levite's concubine not only condemned the men of Gibeah, but it condemns many in Greenville, and it condemns the cursed, immoral mess into which our entire Western world has fallen. The social abomination of gross immorality. Then you have the defending of the guilty. Would Benjamin give up the men of Gibeah? No way. No way. And in that, they became a partaker of their sins. Our Supreme Court justices here are not themselves abortion men, they don't actually go out and perform them. They are not actually murderers with their own hands. They are not actually sodomites, at least as far as we know, in their own actions. Our politicians, for the most part, are in the same category. Though there is a minority, and that would not be true of them. They are, with their own wicked hands, guilty of many of these things. But they associate themselves, and they associate their nation with the men of Gibeah in this day. And I tell you the reason why God's curse will hit America. It has begun, and will hit England. And many another place. I'll tell you why. There are people, they think more of their political party. They'll vote Democrat, or they'll vote Republican, or they'll do this, or they'll do the other thing. They think more of that than they think of the glory of their God. And they've maintained the devil in office. And at the end of the day, the American people have associated themselves with the men of Gibeah, defending the guilty. And the curse of God is on those who call evil good and good evil, who justify the wicked. Then, of course, there's widespread violence. You know, you'd think this was tomorrow morning's newspaper you're reading at the end of Judges. Widespread violence. The Danites were violent against Micah. The men of Gibeah were violent against the concubine. The Levite was violent in dismembering the dead body. The Israelites were violent in wantonly slaughtering many of the tribe of Benjamin. Then the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and then stealing the daughters of Shiloh. This is a violent society, and I want to tell you the reason is it's an abomination of apostasy. We are witnessing the course of apostasy. Don't let us think all these things are simply happening by chance or by accident, or there's something because some political structure or some social structure or some school structure or educational establishment is out of control. Those are not the real issue. The real issue is apostasy. When you get an attitude, if you want it, take it. The personal pleasure is the only criterion. Men do that which is right in their own eyes. You're dealing with the course of apostasy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.